This evening, we visit one of the newspapers published in this area, the South Haven Daily Tribune. Now, here is your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Every town and city of substantial size in western Michigan has its own newspaper, a weekly, a semi-weekly, or a daily. We generally don't think of them as industries, but actually they provide employment for quite a number of people. The South Haven Daily Tribune, for example, employs regularly about 18 people in its office and printing establishment, plus 20 rural correspondents, and approximately the same number of carriers. Whether times are good or bad, people expect their newspaper to be published, and to keep them informed about what is happening in and around South Haven. They look to it also for state, national, and world news, for to probably most of its readers, it's the only newspaper regularly received and read. In some ways, the Tribune is typical of small-town dailies. In others, it's distinctive. South Haven is the smallest city in Michigan with a daily newspaper, although the Tribune does not have the smallest circulation. It is the only daily newspaper published in either of the two counties it serves, Van Buren and Allegan. It's published in a brand new building of its own, just completed and occupied last fall. And its leadership in the persons of editor Paul Mixter and business manager Dan Rooker is young and vigorous. South Haven has had a daily newspaper for over 50 years. Before that, it had a succession of weekly newspapers, fiercely competitive and ardently devoted to one political party or the other. The city's first newspaper was the Sentinel, founded 2 years after the Civil War by one D.M. Phillips. In due course, other competing weeklies were published. In the year 1898, the year of the Spanish-American War, there were no less than 4 weekly newspapers being published in South Haven: the Sentinel, the Messenger, the News, and the Tribune. A.C. Walterhouse had established the Tribune as a weekly paper in 1897, but he sold it 2 years later to Ira A. Smith. On May the 8th, 1899, the South Haven Tribune became a daily. Wrote Mr. Smith at that time,
"We hope by earnest and honest efforts in behalf of the community to merit for years to come a continuance of the liberal patronage accorded at the outset, and that South Haven, as well as the new daily, may keep full pace with the progress of the times. The Daily Tribune will be a representative South Haven newspaper, endeavoring at all times to assist in every laudable undertaking for the upbuilding of the city."
That was a pretty good objective for a daily newspaper. Then in 1904, Mr. Smith left the Tribune and started a rival newspaper, the Post, which soon disappeared from the scene. C.O. Monroe then took over the reins at the South Haven Daily Tribune. He had been educated for the law, but preferred writing. He edited the paper for 30 years, and then sold out and took up the practice of law that he had forsaken for newspaper work 3 decades before. Under Monroe's editorship, the Tribune always leaned toward the Republican Party, although it supported Theodore Roosevelt in 1912. In the long battle between the wets and the dries, the Tribune always supported the dries, which may have had something to do with the fact that Van Buren County was consistently in the dry column back in the local option days. In 1934, Monroe gave way to Harold S. Pringle, who published the paper until 1941. And then, on October 11th of that year, 1941, the entire stock of the corporation was purchased by the present editor and publisher, Paul L. Mixter. Mr. Mixter is a native of Michigan, born and reared in and near Lansing. From the start, he was a newspaper man, beginning as a newsboy and high school reporter for the Lansing State Journal. He attended George Washington University in the nation's capital, and while there became associated with the Washington staff of the Detroit Free Press. Later, he came to Detroit and became national advertising manager of the Free Press and one of the employee stockholders of the paper. After 21 years there, he decided he wanted his own newspaper, and it was then that he bought the South Haven Daily Tribune. Associated with him as business manager is Dan Rooker. Dan attended Western Michigan College here in Kalamazoo, and later Michigan State College, worked on the State Journal, and served later on the Miami Daily News staff, Miami, Florida. Dan did a 4-year stretch in the Navy during the war and came out with a distinguished service record and the rank of lieutenant commander. On a small newspaper, you have to be able to take a hand in almost every phase of the business. Mr. Mixter told me that he and Mr. Rooker had even doubled as newsboys and janitor. But time is found to write vigorous editorials about national, state, and local affairs. For instance, in last Saturday's Tribune, Mixter had a keen and penetrating comment on Governor Williams' budget proposals. He has not hesitated to tangle frequently with the redoubtable Claire Hoffman, who represents Van Buren County in Congress. But a large share of editorial attention is given to local problems. When Mixter first came to South Haven and began to editorialize on local matters, he was accused of meddling. The old guard at the City Hall just didn't like it when he commented that the smelly and unsightly city dump, located near one of the highways leading into the city, was a disgrace and ought to be covered. But the fight didn't hurt circulation, and the dump was covered. When I heard about that, I thought of Kalamazoo City Dump along King's Highway. Thought that maybe a little crusading along the same line here might be a good thing. Mixter also advocated the U.S. 31 bypass around South Haven. He carried on a campaign to get the beaches cleaned up, to get additional medical help at the hospital during the summer. The Tribune campaigned against civic apathy by giving full publicity to civic neglect. From a mere handful who voted on election days, South Haven now has about a 90% turnout at the polls. The Tribune insisted upon publication of an annual city treasurer's report, which hitherto had not been given publication. It's now published once a year. The Tribune worked for cancellation of the decision to close the South Haven office of the Michigan Unemployment Compensation Commission. And as a result, Governor Sigler intervened, and the cancellation was withdrawn. The office is still there, in the new Tribune building, incidentally. The Tribune favored harbor improvements by supporting referendum for extending revetments in the harbor. And the Tribune fought for paving of an 8-mile gravel stretch on M43 on the South Haven-Kalamazoo Road. Called it a disgrace. After years of inaction, the paving has been ordered by the State Highway Commission and work has already started. In cooperation with the Chamber of Commerce, the Tribune campaigned for a cleaner city, and South Haven was awarded second prize in a nationwide contest last year, based on best newspaper support and results. The Tribune is still fighting for traffic safety. The Highway Commissioner, as a result of a Tribune editorial, ordered a traffic study made which showed the need of a stoplight at intersection of U.S. 31 and Phoenix Street at the entrance to the town. The Tribune has sparked the organization of the South Haven Civic Improvement League, a group of young businessmen who are organized for the sole purpose of bringing industries into town. Dan Rooker is the president of that organization. A $50,000 fund is now being raised to provide assistance to any factory wanting to build in South Haven. Sometimes Dan Rooker takes a hand at the editorial writing, and on occasion, Mr. Mixter and Mr. Rooker do not agree on a certain issue. In that case, they just sign their initials to the piece and leave it up to the reader to make up his own mind. The Tribune has a circulation of about 3,000. That's more homes than there are in South Haven. You see, the Tribune is read throughout the South Haven trading area, which contains around 20,000 people. About 40% of the Tribune circulation is by mail, 60% by carrier. And that brings us to one of our guests this evening. With us here in the studio is one of the carrier boys, Wayne Fritz. Tell us a little about yourself, Wayne.
Well, Mr. Dunbar, I'm 14 years old. I'm in the 8th grade in school and have one sister.
Well, fine. And how about your paper route, Wayne?
I have about 70 customers on my route. We carriers are called little merchants. We buy the papers wholesale and sell them retail, you might say. Takes me about 45 minutes, depending on the weather, each night after school to deliver my papers. I collect for them on Saturday morning. I make about $5 a week.
Fine. And what do you do with all that money, Wayne?
I put it in the bank. I'm saving it for college.
Well, good enough, and good luck to you. Now let's go back to the newspaper office and see how it works. The Tribune usually is either a 6- or 8-page paper, although during the year, several special editions are gotten out. We'll hear about them in a few minutes. As a general rule, advertising takes up about 50% of the space, sometimes more, sometimes less. The largest share of this is local advertising, although every issue contains some national advertising. National advertisers are attracted to the small city daily by the fact that it's been demonstrated repeatedly that a hometown newspaper is read more carefully and more thoroughly than the metropolitan daily. Local advertising is partly display, partly classified. The first thing which has to be done each day is to see how much advertising has been ordered, and that determines whether a 6-page paper or an 8-page paper will be needed to maintain the proper news advertising balance. The Tribune has 3 linotype machines, one operated by Mrs. Bertha Ridenhouse. Pardon me, Dan, how do you pronounce that?
That's Bertha Ridenhour.
Ridenhour, I beg your pardon. Bertha's been on the job for 30 years. It requires, I was told, about 4 or 5 years to become a good linotype operator. Certain kinds of advertising copy has to be set by hand or on a machine called a Ludlow. But wherever possible, the linotype is used because it's faster. One linotype machine they have at the Tribune can set four different kinds of type. The Tribune uses almost no boilerplate, that is, material already set up for the press. The serial story and the comics are about the only exceptions to that. Three editorial writers put together the material to be used in each issue and sent out to the linotype operators. Miss Betty Bradshaw is the news editor. At least one local item is featured on the front page. By mail and phone, material comes in from the correspondents in the neighboring towns and rural districts. And now I'd like to formally introduce the Tribune's business manager, Mr. Dan Rooker, and ask him to tell our radio audience about the several special editions which the Tribune gets out each year. Dan?
The Tribune publishes three special editions each year: a farm edition, which will come out March 1st this year, a vacation edition in June, and a Christmas edition in November. The farm edition is a roundup of features about farming activities in the Allegan-Van Buren area and includes features about the rural community and social groups. It is probably the year's best paper from the standpoint of local interest. The vacation edition promotes South Haven as a place to spend an enjoyable vacation. Incidentally, this paper was mailed to all the 48 states last year, plus some mailings in Alaska, Hawaii, Cuba, and Puerto Rico. Besides sending the vacation edition to the entire resort mailing list maintained by the Chamber of Commerce, we urge our regular subscribers to mail their papers to friends. We take care of the postage. All they do is bring the paper in and furnish the address. The Christmas edition is a general Christmas shopping news publication that is a kickoff for our local stores on their Christmas promotions. We have found through the extensive extra circulation given to these special editions that they have gone a long way in the promotion, not only of the Tribune, but the city of South Haven, too.
Thank you, Mr. Rooker. We'd hope to have with us for this broadcast Mrs. Walter Rung, who is one of the correspondents of the South Haven Daily Tribune. But Mrs. Rung was ill. I have here the material which she had prepared, and I want to read an excerpt of it to you. She says, "I gather any items which would be of interest to Bangor readers." She's the correspondent in Bangor. "I have passed the news around among my friends that I'm the reporter for the South Haven Tribune. Through them, I receive tips on such as social gatherings, notices of important events, and accidents. Then it's important to follow up on the tips, to find out who, what, when, where, why, and how. I never report anything without the permission of the people involved. I get my news of fires, deaths, and sports by telephone. I enjoy newspaper reporting very much," she says, "as it's interesting, exciting, and very educational. It's the kind of work I've always wanted to do." And now I'd like to close by quoting from an editorial written by Paul Mixter when he took over the South Haven Daily Tribune in 1941. It's a statement of newspaper creed which might well be copied widely. Wrote Mr. Mixter, "I pledge a vigorously edited newspaper which conceives its first duty to be an accurate conveyor of news of the world, nation, state, county, and city. I pledge you a fearless and independent newspaper, and a fair one. A newspaper which will be tolerant, one which will revere religion, regardless of creed, which will support civic good and fight civic evil. A newspaper which will uphold the needy and unfortunate. A newspaper which will be ever alert for opportunities to stimulate the business and the civic life of the community."
You have been listening to another broadcast in the series Western Michigan at Work, featuring tonight the South Haven Daily Tribune. Listen next Tuesday evening at the new time, 7:15 p.m., for another program in this series presented in the public interest by Station WKZO.